فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صفيه وحبيبه، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سن بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to accept our meeting, our gathering, and guide us for the truth from the book of Allah تبارك وتعالى and سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to accept us amongst the الصالحين, those who listen and obey, inshaAllah تعالى. Today we're going to open dialogue about some questions. This is the time, inshaAllah ta'ala, to answer some questions. And I have some questions here with me. I would like to share with you today also about this question. And this is our class will be the fiqh. And the fiqh are very important for the Muslim in his life. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث الشريف الذي أخرجه الإمام البخاري وغيره من أهل السنن عن معاوية رضي الله عنه وأرضاه: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. فالله want you to be good, successful in your life, saved in a straight path, and also to be successful in the hereafter. Allah will guide you to understand your deen. The fiqh is obligation to understand. For the Muslim, it's obligation in Islam. We need to give a time to understand the Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also from one of the hadith, is narrated also an Imam Bukhari an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, إِنَّمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُرْفَعِ الْعِلْمِ وَيَنْزِلُ الْجَهْلِ وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرْجِ وَالْهَرْجُ هُوَ الْقَتْلِ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a very important hadith also narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda, from the sign of the day of the judgment, أَنْ يُرْفَعِ الْعِلْمِ, the ilm, the knowledge will be raised up. You have the books over there. The books is available. You understand? And everybody could have, but we don't have time to open the books and read. The Quran is there. We don't have time to open the Quran and read. So the sign of the day of the judgment, that the ilm, the knowledge, will be raised from the heart of the believer. And when the ilm will be raised up, what should be taking place after the ilm? Huh? Al-jahl, jahiliyyah. The ignorance will take in place. You find the Muslim today confused in his deen. He doesn't know where is the halal and haram. He doesn't know so and so. So subhanAllah, the jahl, the ummah will suffer from the jahl today. Ignorance, hundreds of opinions. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرْجِ, and the harj will be increased. قَالُوا وَمَا الْهَرْجِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what does harj mean? قال القتل, killing will be in the big numbers. What happened today in Libya? What happened in Syria? What happened in Yemen? What happened in Afghanistan? What happened in Pakistan? What happened in Sudan? So numbers, the now killing, today it became like a normal in our life. That's why when we watch the news, and if I'm 70 here, die and killed here, 80, 100, it's mean nothing because it became normal in our life to see hundreds and thousands of people die every day. That's nothing. What happened in Japan? So, subhanAllah, so the number of killing will be in everywhere. That is a sign of the day of the judgment. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala save all of us and make the last moment in our life before we meet Him to die with Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, the brother, they still ask about the watr. They confuse about the watr. أنا الوتر السنة مؤكدة from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of the ulama that say it's obligation, like Imam Abu Hanifa رحمه الله, he said واجب. Imam Abu Hanifa said وتر after the عشاء is واجب. You must do it. But the other ulama, the majority of the ulama said قال مستحب. It's mandub, mustahab, it's mean desirable. You need to do it because of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but if you don't do it, you are not a sinner. But let's we say inshaAllah ta'ala what is the watr is. Prove watr in Islam meaning the odd number. Can I pray only one single rak'ah after the Isha and I call it this watr? Or three, or five, or seven, or nine, of 11. That is the maximum number. Because Hadith Aisha radiallahu anha warda. Hadith Aisha radiallahu anha warda, she said, in Bukhari wa Muslim, مَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُصَلِّي فِي رَمَضَانَ أَوْ غَيْرِ رَمَضَانَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 11 رَكْعَةً. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray in Ramadan or any another month after Ramadan, he never pray more than 11 rak'ah. That's what you call it watr. Watr, it's mean to end your salah after you pray the sunnah al-isha. And some people, they said, so send a question, they said, ya Sheikh, I pray 4 rak'ah before isha and 4 rak'ah after isha. The only 2 rak'ah mu'akkada, only 2 rak'ah after salat al-isha. This is the sunnah mu'akkada. 4 and 4, we don't know exactly where is that come from. Only 2 rak'ah after the Isha, that's sunnah mu'akkada. And we clear it in this masjid and we spoke about that many times in detail. We're not gonna repeat it. My concentration today is what? The question is, can I pray 1 rak'ah watr only? And this is gonna be enough after I pray sunnah al-Isha in the night? Or this is not allowed? That's our question. But before I answer this, inshaAllah ta'ala, there we need to review some ahadith. Because our evidence came that came all the time from who? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It came, is not according to you what you love, or what you need, and what I need. Our evidence came from where, Sheikh? Huh? Quran and what? Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's we see what is the Prophet ﷺ said first, and then we give you inshallah ta'ala summary or final inshallah ta'ala answer. The first hadith I choose it to you today on Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, it's narrated in Abu Dawood wa Nisa'i wa Ibn Majah wa Ibn Hibban وعن الإمام أحمد رضي الله عنه وارضاه. And all this is scholar أهل السنن. They have their books. They listed the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's authentic hadith. عائشة she said قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الوتر حق على كل مسلم. حق على كل مسلم. من أحب أن يوتر بخمس فليفعل. ومن أحب أن يوتر بثلاث فليفعل. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُوتِرْ بِوَاحِدَةً فَلْيَفْعَلْ. This is beautiful hadith. It gives us a clear idea. أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها, she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said هو الوتر حق على كل مسلم, right over every Muslim. It means to pray this rak'at over every Muslim. But look at the second part of the hadith. And this is will guide us where the truth is. Umm al-Mu'mineen, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُوتِرْ بِخَمْسْ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever need to pray 5 rak'ah, watr, go and do it. It's okay. 5 rak'ah together. If today I'm leading in the masjid, I'm saying we're gonna make the water 5 rak'ah together. What is the people gonna do in the masjid? Take Sheikh Mustafa, throw him outside. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the one he said. And remember, this is authentic hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, your mother radiallahu anha arda. So the Prophet said, who love
من أحب حب من أحب who love to pray وتر 5 ركعة do it. ومن أحب أن يوتر بثلاث فليفعل. And who love to pray 3 ركعة وتر do it. That means by permission. We're talking together. We don't divide the ركعات now. If you love to pray 5 ركعة وتر after you pray سنة العشاء سنة مؤكدة you pray 5 ركعة together do it. The permission from the Prophet and the second option and whoever or who love to pray 3 ركعة فليفعل. And if you love to pray 3 ركعة together go ahead. And the Prophet give us in the end ومن أحب أن يوتر بواحدة فليفعل. And who love to make ركعة وتر single ركعة وتر do it. So according to the question which we ask Ya Sheikh Saeed, the question is that Allah for me to pray to end my salah with one single rak'ah watr or not?
Yes.
Who said that?
Rasulullah.
From who narrated the hadith? Hadrat Aisha radiallahu anha, your mother. And this is authentic hadith. So we understand that the watr are option. If you need to make 5, go ahead, together. If you need to make 3, go ahead. If you love to make only 1 rak'ah sometimes, sometimes you find your body is very heavy. I work very hard today, and I pray the Isha, and 2 rak'ah sunnah after that, and I found myself, I'm not able, I need to sleep, I'm tired, I am sick. Can I pray rak'ah watr or not?
Yes.
Can I do one single?
Yes.
Okay, that is right, inshallah ta'ala. طيب. Let we say the second hadith, and we're going to give you some inshallah ta'ala explanation more. Jabir radiallahu anhu arda, to encourage the Prophet, to encourage every one of us, don't leave the water. But if you leave the water, you are not a sinner. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the first hadith, "Man ahabba, who love." That means it's option. Jabir radiallahu anhu arda, he said that the Prophet ﷺ also said, "Qala ya ahla al-Qur'an, awtiru, fa inna Allah watrun yuhibbu al-watr." Ya ahla al-Qur'an, awtiru. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَتْر يُحِبُّ الْوَتْر. What does that mean? Jabir narrate رضي الله عنه أرضاه and the hadith in an الإمام النسائي والإمام أبو داود. It's authentic hadith also. Jabir رضي الله عنه أرضاه said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said يا أهل القرآن. What does mean يا أهل القرآن? It's message for every Muslim. أوتروا go and perform صلاة الوتر فإن الله وتر because verily Allah is a وتر. What's mean Allah is a وتر? One nothing similar to him. فأوتروا إن الله وتر and Allah love those who perform the وتر. That is the second hadith to encourage all of us that is the وتر إن شاء الله تعالى is sunnah مؤكدة from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The last hadith I would like to share with you Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه وارضاه and this hadith in Bukhari ومسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصاني خليلي بثلاث. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said خليلي أوصاني خليلي خليل خليل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a خليل for the Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم خليل of Allah. Not only the Ibrahim. A lot of people they said Ibrahim Khalilullah. It's mean the friend of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also Awsani Khalili. And here is the evidence that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also is Khalilullah. When he said Awsani Khalili, my Khalili is mean my Allah, my friend. Awsani, advise me, bithalas, to do these three. Number one, بصيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر. Sheikh Osman, he remind us that tomorrow it's going to be 13. To fast 3 days from every month. So the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged, and this is mandub, it's desirable, it's not obligation. Remember, when the Prophet, he said, أوصاني خليلي, my beloved Allah تبارك وتعالى, my friend, advise me to do this trip, it is under the category of mandub, mustahab, desirable. You do it, you will be rewarded. You didn't do it, you are not a sinner. You lose a lot of rewards. That's all. And we need to gain as much as we could. Don't make it like obligation. But the Prophet, he said, Allah advised me with three. To fast 3 days from every Arabic month. 13, 14 and 15. Or 14 and 15 and 16. Both of them are valid. طيب, number two. وركعتي الضحى. To pray two ركعة ضحى. When is the two ركعة ضحى will be? After you see the sunrise. Wait around 20 minutes, 15-20 minutes. Stand up and pray two ركعة for Allah. Call it ركعتي الضحى. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, من صلى الفجر في جماعة, whoever prayed the fajr in جماعة, ثم جلس يذكر الله, and he sit down to remember Allah, read the Quran, make dhikr, istighfar, do anything in the masjid, until the time of duha, until the time, ثم قام فصلى ركعتي من الضحى, and then he stand up and to pray two ركعة, call it ركعتي الضحى, كأنه حج معي واعتمر. Tamma, like he perform Hajj and Umrah with me, complete Hajj and Umrah. Allah, how many reward we lost in Islam? How many? Look, I said, he repeated three times. Tamma, it's mean complete. Tamma, it's mean complete. Tamma, it's mean completed three times. Whoever prays Salat al-Fajr and he stay until the sunrise, and then he wait for the time of Duha and he stand up to pray two rak'ah and he leave from the masjid, like you perform it Hajj and Umrah with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, complete Hajj and Umrah. Allah, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us. Allah give it to whom he will, because maybe we need the aqeedah, we have the aqeedah, maybe we have the power, but after the Fajr, I need to run for my work. Yeah, subhanAllah, you have to go to your work. And after, in a weekend, for example, in a weekend, after I pray the Salat al-Fajr, and to stay almost like 1.5 hours until the time of Duha, yeah, this is too long, man, to wait for this time, but we don't know the reward. We ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to help us, and always say, Allahumma a'inni. Say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Husni ibadatik, to perform a good ibadah for you, ya Allah. Help me to gain and gain and gain and gain. Because Allah give it to whom he will. Subhanallah. Now, the third one, advice. أوصاني خليلي. The Prophet ﷺ said, my friend Allah تبارك وتعالى advised me to fast 3 days from every Arabic month, to make the two rak'ah for الضحى, and number three, وأن أوتر قبل أن أنام, and to perform the water before I sleep. For this hadith here, the Prophet, he mentioned it, to make watri before I sleep. But we have the questions. Somebody he prayed Aisha and Sunnah, and he said, I have intention to wake up to make the Hajjud Salah in the middle of the night. Remember, there is no any two watr in the same night. You cannot make two watr or the watr twice at the same night. If you are not guarantee or you are yourself to wake up in the night, pray the watri before you sleep. And that's what we advise the whole ummah. Because you may have the intention to wake up for tahajjud. And tahajjud will be 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah, 6 rak'ah, whatever you are able to do. Al-watr, and tahajjud, it means shafa'. Shafa', it means it is like what? It's not an odd number. It is 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah from the night. As the Prophet said, Salatullah al-layl rak'atayn rak'atayn. If you want to pray in the middle of the night, you pray 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah. Make it 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. If you make only 2 rak'ah, it's fine. 4 is fine. 6 is fine. It's upon your capability or you are able to do it or not. So, can I postpone the watr after the tahajjud? Yes. The answer, yes. If you need to end the salah, because the Prophet ﷺ said, Salatul Watr, to end the salah for the whole day. And the watr should be odd number, as we explain it. 1 rak'ah, 3 rak'ah, 5 rak'ah, 7 rak'ah, 9 rak'ah, 11 rak'ah, that's called odd number. So we have encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ to follow this salah and never leave it. Come back to our question again. Is that allowed to pray 1 rak'ah, single rak'ah? We agree that the Prophet, Hadith Aisha, she said, Man ahabba an yutir biwahida, who will love to make only one single rak'ah, watr at the end of the whole salah in the day and night, do it. There's nothing wrong. Look what the ulama said. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, yajuz to make only 1 rak'ah bila karaha. And for him, it is not undesirable. It is not undesirable. It's okay to do it. Who said that? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i wal-Imam Ahmad. If you do one. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, la yajuz. Is not allowed to make one single rak'ah of watr. For Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, wajib 3 rak'ah. And why Abu Hanifa said that? Because Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he did not reach the hadith of Aisha. Imam Abu Hanifa, as you know, he immigrated to Kufa. And he stayed in Kufa, and the communication was very, very bad in the beginning. Rahimahullah. So when they ask him, ya Imam, can we make the watri 1 rak'ah? I said, no, must be 3. And he make it obligation. Why Abu Hanifa said that? He doesn't want it to be against the Prophet, because the Prophet, Hadith Aisha, she said, whoever loves to make one single rak'ah, go ahead, do it. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he did not reach everything from Rasulullah. So he built his school in qiyas, in measurement, ijtihad. Personal opinion. May Allah be pleased with him. He's alim. He tried to help the ummah. But if we have the dalil from the sunnah, we cannot take the measurement. We cannot take the qiyas. If you have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadith Aisha here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on Aisha. And mentioned in 5 books of the hadith. Whoever like to make 5 rak'ah, go ahead. Whoever like to make 3 rak'ah for watr, go ahead. Whoever like to make 1 single rak'ah, go ahead. Do it. So, later on, the imam, not every imam reach every single hadith. But if we found the sources and the dalil in the sunnah, we drop the opinion of the ulama and we take it from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, al-imam al-Shafi'i, وأحمد said yes is permitted to make it 1 rak'ah. الإمام أبو حنيفة said لا يجوز is not permitted. The watr for أبو حنيفة is 3 rak'ah. رحمه الله. الإمام مالك قال يكره عند المالكية. الإمام مالك رحمه الله he said it's undesirable to make it 1 single rak'ah. For that's his opinion too. May Allah be pleased with him. Right, great alim for all of us. But of course, like I told you, why he said it's undesirable, makruh, because some of the imam, sometime they don't reach the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, so they build their own opinion to make it minimum 3, not 1. Hi. Come to the second questions. I am divided between the two opinion of ulama. Let we say, if we make 3 rak'ah to end our salah for today. If you make it separate, munfasil, separate, 2 rak'ah and you make it salam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did that too. He make 2 rak'ah, call it shafa. Shafa, he make it Allahu Akbar, recite Fatiha. After the Fatiha, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite Surah Al-A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. Then he make a ruku', Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. And he went for 2 sujood. He stand up to bring rak'ah number 2. And he recite in the first rak'ah Fatiha and the Surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. That is if you make it shafa'ah. And you go and you end the taslim, the 2 rak'ah with salam. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. So we figure that the imam pray what? What you call it? Shafa. Then the imam stand up and he said, Allahu Akbar. As the Prophet ﷺ also did it, he recites Fatiha and then Surah Al-Ikhlas. Some of the ulama, they add قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ in the water. But it's proof from the Prophet ﷺ, Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Then he make taslim. That if the Imam did that, we call the Imam pray what? Shafa and water. You cannot, the Imam who is intelligent, who is knowledgeable, he cannot stand up in the front of the people and say, brothers, we're going to pray Salat al-Witr. And he pray 2 rak'ah. And then he makes salam. And then he stand up to bring a rak'ah. He cannot say that as an imam. You are an imam. You must be knowledgeable. If you want to do that, you tell the people, brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going to pray Shafa'ah. Because he's going to pray 2 rak'ah. And after the taslim, he has to tell the people, we're going to pray 1 single rak'ah water to make it 3 rak'ah. But if the imam does that, that's mean he pray shafa'ah and water. If the imam is knowledgeable, he said, let's we pray salat al-water. We going to pray 3 rak'ah. Meaning, salat al-water, let's we come to this area now. Irhamukallah. If the imam he will pray salat al-water 3 rak'ah, majority of the ulama, it's mean al-Shafi'i, wa Malik, wa Ahmad, wa al-Imam, Ibn Taymiyyah, wa Ibn al-Qayyim, wa al-Nawawi, wa Ibn Hajar, all these great ulama, they said, if you pray the water as a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, you don't sit in the middle, you don't make 2 tashahud. It's gonna be only 1 tashahud in the end of the salah. أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها وارضاها like she has a camera and she explained it to us how is the water from the Prophet ﷺ ثبت that the Prophet ﷺ prayed 3 rak'ah and sit only in the last rak'ah for tashahud. He did not make the 3 rak'ah like Maghrib. He sit only 1 time in end and he makes salam. What did he do? First rak'ah, he recited Fatiha. And after the Fatiha, he recited Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. Second rak'ah, when he stand up, he pray Surah Al-Fatiha. Then he pray, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Then after Surah Al-Fatiha, he recited Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. Then after that, in the third, he did not sit in the middle at all. He stood up and he bring rak'ah number 3 and he recite Surah Al-Fatiha and then Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Wallahu Ahad. He proved 3 rak'ah, he prayed like this. And proved that the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed 5 rak'ah together. And he called it watr. Because 5 rak'ah, it's mean watr. It's the odd number. And he did not sit in the middle at all. He sit only one time in the end to bring the tashahud one time at the end of the 5 rak'ah. Then he makes salam. And prove that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he pray 9 rak'ah together without any taslim between. All together 9 rak'ah. But what did he do? He pray 8 rak'ah and he sit down after the 8 rak'ah. He make a tashahud until ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, Allahumma salli ala muhammadin wa ala ali muhammad. And he stood up to bring rak'ah number 9 and he recited surah al-fatiha and surah al-ikhlas, and then he sit down and he make taslim. So when he pray 9 rak'ah, he make tashahud twice. First tashahud after the 8 rak'ah and last tashahud after he performed the rak'ah number 9. If you don't understand, yarhamukallah, I need masjid al-taqwa to be mashallah la quwata illa billah. When you go according to any masjid or any meeting, brother, I need you to be educated. Don't let anybody deceive you, because this is a sunnah al-mukarrama. And we agree from the first day in this masjid not to give you except the authentic. And anything the ulama, actually, they have no evidence and dalil, we never take it. And I told you all the time, who is the majority and who is the personal opinion? All the time in my class like that, we have to fear Allah with the ilm, without favoring anyone. All of the imam are our imam. So that is proof from the Prophet ﷺ. Therefore, come back again to the 3 rak'ah. If you want to make Salat al-Witr 3, you make it 1, 2, 3, only less. Well, in the last rak'ah after you perform rak'ah number 3, you bring it a tashahud. Who said the other opinion? The other opinion came from Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and he's his student Abu Yusuf, Wal-Imam Al-Thawri. I said, no, Abu Hanifa, what did he do? Rahimahullah, he's a great alim, our teacher also, but that's his opinion too. What did he say? He prays that he may consider the watr 3 rak'ah wajib. If you don't do it, you are guilty. Because wajib, when I tell you, Sheikh Saeed, wajib. If you don't do it, you will be what?
Guilty.
So Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, to end your salah every day, you must pray salat al-watr. And he makes the watr like maghrib. What did he do? He pray 2 rak'ah and he sit down to bring middle tashahud. Middle tashahud. And then he stand up to bring rak'ah number 3. And then after that, he make another tashahud before. He make the maghrib. He make the water like maghrib. That is in sect of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And the last question in this, or the following questions. I am an imam who follow the majority, because majority of the ulama, he said, if you pray the watr 3 rak'ah, you don't sit in the middle. That's proof from Aisha, and that is Salat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when I said, the Prophet, he said that, and Abu Bakr, he said something. And Abu Bakr said something different than the Prophet. Which one are you going to take? Prophet said something, and Imam Malik said something else. Which one are you going to take it? Prophet ﷺ said something and Abu Hanifa said something with ijtihad, his own opinions. Which one are you going to take it? Rasulullah ﷺ, we agree about the school of Ahl Sunnah. We never going to be extremist to one school. We find where is the sources and where is the evidence, and we follow inshaAllah ta'ala without any argument. But my question is, suppose I am following the majority of the ulama and I like to pray 3 rak'ah, and I sit only in the last rak'ah after I perform 3 rak'ah with the imam, and I make only 1 tashahud in the end of the 3 rak'ah. Suppose I enter a masjid and the imam he is the imam of the school of Hanafi school. And he gonna pray two rak'ah. And he sit down in the middle tashahud to make it like Maghrib. And I don't do that. What you gonna do? Are you going to follow this imam? Or he said, no, wallahi, I'm not gonna follow him. I will do it my own way. If he sit in the middle, I will stand up to bring the rak'ah number 3 and let him sit down as much as he could. Can I do that? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said a beautiful fatwa. Said the watr is a mustahab. It's a desirable sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suppose I came, ya akhi, and I pray here salat al-isha, and I pray 2 rak'ah sunnah, and inshallah when I go home I make watr in my house. I went home, I forgot, or I am very sick and I cannot, and I sleep without bringing the watr. I need to know in Islam, I am guilty?
No.
La. But you lost what? The reward. That's it. You lost the reward. So, what I have to do, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, if you pray behind an imam who is a Hanafi school, and he sit in the middle, you follow the imam. You are the prisoner of the imam, because we're not gonna make any differences between the Muslim group. You must follow the imam. If the imam sit in the middle to bring tashahud in the middle in the 3 rak'ah, you sit down with the imam. You cannot stand up. Even if you believe that 3 rak'ah watr should be 1, 2, 3, and you sit down, but you must follow the imam. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به. Allah made the imam in the salah to follow him. You cannot make any different action more than the imam, unless if the imam he forgot and he bring extra rak'ah. For example, he bring rak'ah number 5, and you sure you pray rak'ah 4, you pray for 4 rak'ah, you cannot stand up with imam to bring additional rak'ah number 5. If you are sure, you are not allowed to stand up. Let the imam finish his rak'ah, and when he sit down and he make tashahud, go after him, because you are, as I love this word too much, you are the prisoner of the imam. You cannot leave the imam. You cannot, like some brother I told you in this masjid, the brother, he's in Safar, he's traveler, he pray behind an imam, resident imam, and the resident imam in a 4 rak'ah, he has to complete the 4 rak'ah. And if you are a traveler, you pray how many rak'ah for the 4 rak'ah salah? 2. The brother after he prayed the 2 rak'ah, the imam he sit down in the middle. And the brother after he fed zak, and the imam he said, Allahu Akbar, to bring rak'ah number 3. Then the brother said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he leave, and he doesn't care about the la. You never gonna be out of the salah unless the imam open the door for you. How he opened the door for you to get out from the salah is what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That is the sunnah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we have to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we have to follow the imam. We cannot be different than the imam. Wallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala. A'lam, we have to avoid all the fitna. We cannot, inshaAllah ta'ala.
Two rakat, when you travel, you make a 2 rakat. When you complete 4,
you don't make complete it. We, I think we review my class. In my side, I speak about Salatul Safar. It is a long topic. If you want to follow, actually open. We have like more than 500-600 classes in our website. Review the class, call it Salatul Safar. And we have like a 3 tapes. You could listen, inshallah ta'ala, all the option and all the opinion of the imam. And I give you the result, inshallah ta'ala. But this is different from imam to another imam, inshallah. Review Salat al-Safar, www.masjidmanhattanoneword.com. Go for the classes and you could hear our class, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, now, so if the imam praying, same thing for the brother who are following school of Abu Hanifa. He pray behind an imam who making the watr 3 rak'ah direct without sitting in the middle. So what he has to do? Because he can he sit down in the middle? If the Imam said Allahu Akbar, he did not sit in the middle, and he bring the third rak'ah right away. You must follow the Imam the same thing. You don't sit for the middle tashahud, because the Imam responsible for the salah. And all the time we need to put to unite the Muslim under one umbrella of Islam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, all of you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said one hadith very important. قال لعائشة قال يا عائشة لولا أنك أن قومك حديث عهد بالجاهلية لهدمت الكعبة وبنيتها على قواعد إبراهيم. Look at this. That is the fiqh. That is the fiqh from the professor of this ummah, the leader of this ummah, the messenger of this ummah. He said to Aisha, Ya Aisha, because I know your people, it's me Quraysh. They are new in Islam. They are closer to Jahiliyyah. They used to be in Jahiliyyah. Other way, I have intention to go and demolish the whole Kaaba and build the Kaaba in the foundation of Ibrahim. You know the Kaaba, which you see today, it is not originally built in the foundation of Ibrahim. It's built next to foundation of Ibrahim. So the Prophet ﷺ, in order to avoid the Muslim Ummah to make ikhtilaf and to create differences between the Ummah and doubts among the Ummah, he left the Kaaba as it is. But remember when Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام عن النبي أفضل الصلاة والسلام إسماعيل عليه السلام build the foundation of the Kaaba, raised up the foundation of the Kaaba. They raised it up not in the original Kaaba which you saw today. So the Prophet, he kept the Kaaba in the way as it is today, but it's not in the foundation of Ibrahim. But the Prophet ﷺ, he keep it because he doesn't want to make the, for the Ummah what? To divide the Ummah, to save the Ummah from Dawud, to save the Ummah from the Alim, the Faqih. He sometimes, yes, I need to pray 3 rak'ah, 1, 2, 3, but I pray behind an Imam who sit down in the middle of tashahud, sit down with him. And then when he bring rak'ah number 3, stand up with him and don't make the salah differences and don't cause fitna among the people. Islam is a beautiful religion, inshaAllah ta'ala. We come back to the second questions. I need you to wake up very well with me, because this is very, very complicated questions, and we need to understand this topic in order to be educated. This is very deep in the fiqh. Question is, the brother asks, هل الحديث ينسخ الآية القرآنية? What does that mean, the questions? Is the hadith the Prophet narrated has power to abrogate or eliminate the ayah of the Quran? You still you don't understand. Is the hadith the Prophet he narrated has power to abrogate or eliminate ayah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Meaning, there is a command from Allah from the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated hadith to abrogate the ayah, call it nasikh wal mansukh. Nasikh, ma nansakhu min ayatin aw nunsiha نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. Allah said that in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. In Revelation, Allah تبارك وتعالى abrogated or cause like forgotten. Allah He said, we will bring better than it, something similar to or better than this ayat. But my question here, Allah sent the ayah. Is the Prophet has power to say a hadith, one single hadith, to abrogate this ayah or to eliminate this ayah or to correct this ayah after a while or not? That is the question we need to answer. Is there anybody still confused about the questions? Fadal.
No.
He said no. Anybody? He said no. Everybody no. طيب جزاكم الله خير. طيب. The ulama divided to two sections. Concentrate with me. The first group of ulama said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has power also to do that, because the Quran came from him, and the hadith came from him, and the hadith is wahy also. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation from Allah, the Quran, and also the hadith is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you have to understand. But the difference between the Quran and the hadith, Quran is a fixed word, came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, nobody, even the messenger, allow to change it. He has to recite it as he received it. The hadith came from Allah too. When I stand up for 4 rak'ah salah, takbiratul ihram is not in the Quran. But who said you must, in order to start your salah, takbiratul ihram? Who said that? From who? Allah wanted to be like this. Rasulullah cannot give you any hukm. So when you stand up, you say, Allahu Akbar, Jibril came to the Prophet from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's direction, and he told him how he performed the salah. When you stand up for the salah, combine the niyyah, and when you stay, say, Allahu Akbar. Allah did not tell you in the Quran how you pray and to start your salah with Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah, action and word came from Allah, but Allah, he left the word of the hadith for Rasulullah to choose the word. But the meaning is from where? The meaning of the surah of the hadith from where? From Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Don't think the Prophet go and create something. La. Every single hadith is from Allah through the teach of Jibreel. So the first group of ulama, they said, yes, the hadith could abrogate, eliminate the ayah, give a new rule to the ayah, or give additional rule to the ayah, because the hadith and the Quran came from Allah, and there is nothing wrong that the hadith abrogate the Quran, or the Quran abrogate the hadith, and the same meaning. So this is what the ulama teach us. Example. Still I'm confusing. Yeah, Sheikh Mustafa, what you talking today? We need some example. Give us very fast, give us some example. Tayyib sallallahu ala rasulillah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله. Right or not?
Yes.
حرمت, it's mean حرام. عليكم, upon you. الميتة, any kind of dead meat. Right or not? Any kind. When Allah mentioned in the ayah, it's forbidden for you to eat the dead meat in general, for everything. Because mayta could be anything. Waddam, and all kind of the blood. Walahma al-khinzir, the flesh of the khinzir. Wama uhilla bihi li ghayrillah. And whatever actually you slaughter for somebody beside Allah, it's mean beside Allah. You slaughter the animal for somebody beside Allah, tabaraka ta'ala, haram. I want to take the first part of the ayah. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم. What does that mean? Wake up with me. حرمت عليكم, حرام upon you to deal with what? Dead meat, ميتة, والدم and the blood. طيب. Let me give you this hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ابن عباس وغيرهما, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Uhilla lakum maytatan wa daman." Here is the hadith came with something additional more than the ayah. We know it's haram to deal with dead meat and the blood. That's good. The hadith said, "Uhillat lakum maytatan." It is lawful. It is halal. Uhillat halal. Lakum, for all of you as a Muslim. Maytatan, two deads and two blood. What is the two dead is? Amma al-maytatan. The Prophet explained the two deads. Al-maytatan, fahuma al-samak wal-jarad. The first two dead meat, you eat it, and you are lawful to eat it. It's what? Al-samak. Fish, right or not? The brother actually who follow actually the sects of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. As you know, when they ask Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, "Ya Imam, if we have like a boat, I'm a sailor, and while I am sailing my boat, I found a fish, dead fish, die over the water. Can we take it and we eat it?" Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, "La haram." What's his evidence? From the ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, وحلت حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم. Haram for you to deal or to eat any kind dead meat and the blood. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said haram because this is the ayah. Here is a confusion here. But Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he doesn't know there is a hadith. We narrated, we told you before, when a group of Muslims came to the Prophet ﷺ, and this hadith narrated in Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, the most authentic after the book of Allah. Imam Bukhari make a big chapter and he said, الرد على أبي حنيفة في تحريمه للميتة من طعام البحار. To answer Abu Hanifa rahimahullah about his fatwa about the dead meat of the, which come from the sea and the rivers and lake. What happened? He said, "Ya Imam, we found like a fish, dead fish over the water. Can I take this fish and eat it?" He said, "No, it's haram." But it's not a matter of fact, it's haram. Hadith Anas, radiallahu anhu arda, in al-Bukhari, when he said, "Ya Rasulallah," a group of people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قالوا, "Ya Rasulallah, نحنu ma'asharun ma'asharu أو معشر المسلمين نركب البحر." We are a group of Muslims. We ride the sea. It means we have ship and we sail. And then we have the water, salted water, because ocean is a salted water. Sea is a salted water. Can we take this water and we make wudu or ghusl to take shower or to drink from it? قال صلى وماذا عن ماء البحار. And they told him, "What you say about the water, the salted water of the seas and oceans?" فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الطهور ماءه الحل ميتته. الطهور ماءه, طهور, it's mean the water are طهور. طهور come from طهارة. طهارة mean what? Pure water. Go and make wudu, take shower, drink from it, wash your clothes from the salted water, because the Sahaba confused. This is salted, it's not a river. Then the Prophet, he said in the hadith, At-tahuru ma'uhu. The water are pure, clean, to take a shower, to take everything from this water. And he said in the second part of the hadith, Al-hillu maytatuhu. Hillu, hillu come halal, maytatuhu, any kind of dead meat come from the ocean, eat it and enjoy it, and you don't have actually to worry about it. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he doesn't have idea about this hadith, because as you said, he immigrated to Kufa and he did not receive a lot of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he built the ijtihad. Ya Abu Hanifa, dead fish, can we eat it? La, haram. What's your evidence? The Quran say here, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَ. Haram for you to eat the dead meat and dama. Come back to our hadith. Is the hadith has power to abrogate the ayah or to give additional command for the ayah? Yes. The group of ulama, the first group of ulama, they said yes. The Prophet here in the hadith, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, it's halal for you to eat two dead meat. قال أما الميتة الأولى. The first dead meat you ate with it is what? The fish. Because when the ayah, Allah revealed it in general. حرمت عليكم الميتة. Haram for you to eat the dead. We don't know this is fish. We don't know this is chicken. We don't know this is meat. We don't know anything. So the hadith came here to give a special rule. It's lawful for you. It is halal for you to eat the dead fish. Wal jarad. You know what jarad is? Those who speak Arabic, you know what jarad is? The jarad, when you go for lake, around the lake, and you have a lot of grass, and you find a small flies, looks like a flies, call it locust or so, zzz, all over. Call it lotus or locust or something. What does that mean? Anybody knows what is that? Call it jarad. The Muslim that time, they used to eat it. In the time of the Sahaba, they used to eat it as a little piece of meat, and they eat it. Call it lotus or locust, something like this. So the hadith came to give additional rule to the ayah. Allah, he said, haram to deal with dead meat in general. But the Rafi told you, two dead meat, you can eat it. Allah, he did not tell me fish or not fish. So the Prophet, he told me, yes, you are allowed to eat the dead fish and then al-jarad. Number two. وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ دَمَان. And permitted to you to drink or eat two bloods. The ayah said haram. Haram what? To deal with the blood. طيب إن شاء الله after that.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Yes, my brother and sisters in Islam. The second part of the hadith with clear idea came from Allah. It's forbidden for all Muslims to eat the dead meat and the blood. The Prophet came with additional command that is halal for you to eat the dead fish and this garad, which you call it locust, whatever. Number two, the two blood. وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ دَمَانِ. And Allah permitted you to deal with two blood. أَمَّا الدَّمُ الْأَوَّلِ. The first blood is الْكَبِدْ وَالْطُحَالِ. If I offer for you liver meat, if I offer for you, Sheikh Saeed, liver meat, is halal or haram? Liver, the liver of the cow, the liver of the cow, the liver of the chicken, the liver of goats, whatever is halal to eat it or not? What is that liver is? Blood, right? Is halal or not? While Allah told you in the ayah, والدم, and all kind of blood is haram. But the sunnah came to explain to us that the liver is halal. And number two, what tuhal? How do you call it a tuhal? Spleen? Spleen?
What's that?
Spleen. Spleen?
What's spleen?
Spleen. Do you know what spleen is, Sheikh Saeed? Okay, a spleen. It's halal to eat it, which comes from the cow. It's something looks like pancreas. You eat it, it's a blood. Totally, if you look at it, it looks like a liver. It's like a blood. So the sunnah came here to give more additional for the ayah, or to explain the ayah in detail. While Allah, He told me, dead meat and the blood is haram. Sunnah came and to give me two additional dead meat is halal, which call it a fish, dead fish, and the garat. And number two, give us permission to eat the blood like liver and spleen. طيب. Second example. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. Two sisters. Can I marry them at the same time? Yeah? Can I marry them at the same time? Haram to do that. Haram. But when I can, and I can marry the second sister, if the first one is what? Died. Okay, that's it. Right. But the first sister will stop you to go and make additional wife or to marry another one if that's their sister, direct sister. طيب. The hadith came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تنكح المرأة على عمتها ولا على خالتها ولا على بنت أخيها ولا على بنت أختها. You cannot marry over to add another woman for your wife, and you marry her aunt. It's haram to marry her aunt. You cannot put this together. You marry your wife and her aunt. Her aunt, you cannot, even aunt related to her father or aunt related to her mother. Haram to marry the woman and her aunt at the same time. Second, وحرام to marry the woman and بنتُ أخيها. You are not allowed to marry the woman and you marry the daughter of her brother. Are you gonna call her the daughter of her brother? Her what? Her niece. You cannot marry the woman and her niece together at the same time. You cannot. وَبِنْتُ الْأُخْتِ. Or she cannot marry the daughter of her sister. She has a sister and the sister has another daughter. You cannot marry this woman and her niece also, related to what? Her sister. So this hadith came when, while Allah, He said in the Quran direct, You cannot combine the woman with her sister. The hadith came here to give more explanation to the ayah, to give more detail to the ayah, to abrogate the ayah, to eliminate the ayah in one hukm. But the Prophet, he was author and he has power to give additional rule. It's from who? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, the first group of ulama, the Quran came through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith came through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no problem if one single hadith came to give additional rule, to abrogate the ayah, to eliminate the ayah in one part, and to bring more detail. Because he was Sadiq al-Masduq. Allah said about him in the Quran, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. Him himself, he's the revelation to be revealed. So he is the most trusted. The Quran came from him, the hadith came from him. So he's author to make additional rule or to abrogate the ayah. That is the first group. The second group of ulama, they said no, as the brother answered. Said no way. The Quran is more powerful. A word came from Allah. Sunnah came from the Prophet ﷺ. Which one you should, if you put it one and two, which one come first? The Quran. He said you cannot bring something lower than the Quran to abrogate the ayah or to give correction to the ayah. You cannot do that at all, because the Quran is higher. Al-Quran ya'lu wa la yu'la alayhi. Al-Quran is the highest thing, and nothing above the Quran. Nothing is higher than the Quran. That is the second opinion of the ulama. So therefore, the ulama divided to this, and they divided to this group. And wallahu tawaraka wa ta'ala a'lam, the second group, they said the Quran should came, and anything else, it will be additional rule from Allah. But you cannot say this word, the hadith will abrogate or eliminate the Quran, because Al-Quran is the most higher, more than anything at all. Therefore, the Quran is the fixed word from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the hadith came in the lower position. You cannot bring the hadith. But the two examples which we gave it to you, Al-Quran, Al-Hadith, كما قال العلماء, the first group, الحديث ينسخ الآية والآية تنسخ الحديث. The Quran abrogate the Quran, and the Quran abrogate the hadith and eliminate it. This is the opinion of the ulama. But the correct word, in order to say that in general, nothing to be corrected the Quran, but we will say the hadith came to explain the sweetness of Al-Quran in detail, and nothing higher than the Quran. So the first group of ulama, when they said yes, Al-Hadith ينسخ الآية, هذا قول مردود عليه والله أعلم. Allah أعلم about that. The last question, I would like to clear it today with you. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله قد أعطى لكل ذي حق حقه. إن الله, حديث عبد الله بن عمر narrated في البخاري ومسلم, إن الله قد أعطى لكل ذي حق حقه فلا وصية لوارث. Reason for this hadith explanations. All of us, we obligated, inshallah, desirable, the most action the Muslim should do. You cannot sleep one single night or two single night without a written wasiyya. Written wasiyya. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث ما حق امرئ مسلم له شيء أن يوصي به لا يبيت ليلة أو ليلتين إلا ووصيته مكتوبة عنده. This authentic hadith also by Abdullah ibn Umar. It's not allowed, not permissible for any Muslim who has something to give a will. If you have something to give a will, if you have property, or you have a trust, somebody trusted you and keep something with you, or you owe somebody something, you are not allowed to sleep a single night or two nights without a written will in your house or over your head. Meaning, majority of the ulama, they say this is desirable. It is desirable action for every Muslim to leave a written will. Desirable. But if it's come to a trust or loan, it will be obligation over you to write your will. For example, Sheikh Saeed, what happened to him? He told me, Sheikh Mustafa, I'm traveling to one country in Africa. I have $5,000, take it with you because I trust you, and keep it with you until I come back. Sheikh Mustafa will be obligated in Islam to bring a wasiyah, will, a written will, to write day so and so, Sheikh Saeed by his full name, give me $5,000 to keep it with me until he come back from his trip, and I have to write and make witnesses for that. And I showed to who? One of my relative or one of my family members. Why? Suppose Sheikh Saeed, may Allah hafizahullah, may Allah bless him and save him and give him health, inshallah ta'ala, and enter him the Jannah. He came back and Sheikh Mustafa died. And I did not tell anybody in my family member or any close friend. Sheikh Ibrahim is my close friend. I did not tell him that I took $5,000 from Sheikh Saeed. And I left the property. And this $5,000 will be mixed with what? With my own property. When Sheikh Saeed will come back and ask my family member, I kept $5,000 with Sheikh Mustafa before I leave. What's my family member will say? Excuse me, we don't know anything about you. We never take anything from you. You never tell us anything about it. So it's astaghfirullah. So Sheikh Saeed's money will be swallowed. Sheikh Saeed, his money will be swallowed onto my inheritors, my family member, my children, and my wife, without any right. So Allah, He will punish me because I did not write the wasiyah. In the opposite way. For example, Sheikh Saeed came and he asked me for loan. And he told me, I need a loan. Wallahi, my situation is so and so. And subhanallah, we have a witness here, one of your brother also. We have this deal together. Sheikh Saeed, he borrowed me, exactly told me, I need a $1,000 from you. Then after that, I give him the $1,000. He told me, can we write something? I told him, no, ya akhi, I know you, I love you, Sheikh Saeed. Just go now, between me and you is trust. Between me and him is a big trust. So what happened is, Sheikh Saeed, hafazahullah, may Allah bless him and save us, inshallah, for his family member and for all of us. Something happened to him. And he died. I come to his family member. I give Sheikh Saeed $1,000 and he never returned it back. What his wife will say? Excuse me, I didn't take anything from you. I don't know you. Sheikh Saeed, he never told me about it. So Sheikh Saeed's obligation in Islam, he must write this will, and before one night or two nights, never you owe anybody or to take a trust, or you borrow money, unless you write this will and you make your family member. And the ulama said, it's preferred to bring a witness, two men or one man and two women, to be witness for this deal between us, inshallah ta'ala. Other way, somebody, for example, he has intention. Intention to give donation. He has the intention in his heart. Said, inshallah, before I die, I will give third of my money. That's the maximum you could go for it. You cannot go more than the third of your property, and you give it, you donate it for somebody. You cannot. So what happened? I have an intention to give third of my property to the orphan school, to the mosque, to the Muslim in Bangladesh, to the Muslim in Pakistan, to so and so, third of my property. Then the wasiyah will be desirable. The written will, it will be up to me. It will be desirable because I owe nobody anything. But I have this intention. The only thing I have, it is desirable to go and write it. Because if you love this action, and this is a great reward from Allah, you write it as a desirable. But if you don't write it, you are not guilty like the first case. Like what? The first case. Come back to our questions, which we started. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the second hadith, which we mentioned it to you in the beginning of this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَعْطَى لِكُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ فَلَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَارِثِ. Allah give everyone, he give him his rights. لَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَارِثِ. There is no any written will to give it to anyone who already he has portion of your money. Such as somebody has his property and he has two sons and one daughter. And he gathered all of them. Yeah, my children, I feel I am closer to the grave and I need to distribute my money amongst you. Ya Abdurrahman, Ya Muhammad, Ya Fatima. And he gave the boy twice like the woman. So he has like two portion, two share for Abdurrahman, two share for Muhammad, and only one share for Fatima. Five shares. Can he do that while he's still alive? That is a question. Can he distribute his wealth and to say, give my mother, if she has a mother, give my mother 1/6 and give my daughter 1/3, or give my son so and so? Can he distribute his will while he's still alive amongst his family member? That is a question we need to ask. Because related to the hadith, before you said yes or no, again I will repeat the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, inna Allah qad a'ta li kulli dhi haqqin haqqa. Allah give a portion to everyone. Give his portion. But remember, la wasiyata li warith. No written wasiyya to give it to one who is already in inheritance. You cannot distribute your money amongst your children. Al-wasiyya, your inheritance, will be distributed after you die. Why? Think about it with me. Think about it. Suppose today I said, this is portion for my daughter, this portion for my son, this portion for my father, this portion for my mother. Maybe after 6 months, after 1 month, one of them die. What you gonna do? The formula will be changed. So the already your mother, if she's still alive and you die, she gonna have. Your father, he must have. And your daughter, she gonna have. And your son and your wife, he must have. They must have from this wasiyya. So la wasiyyata li waris. You cannot distribute your money for somebody originally is written in a book of Allah to get portion of your inheritance. But the wasiyya will be for what? For the one who is not sharing with you in your property if you die. Such as, I give to the Masjid al-Taqwa third of my property. I give third for the orphan place. They are not family members, you. you cannot go more than the third, and we'd have this inshallah ta'ala in detail, because I know the salah. Where is my boss? I know the salah is soon, and the brother need to inshallah, we will open this in detail. I owe you this, and be ready. We're going to open a topic of the inheritance. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أوتي علم الفرائض فقد أوتي نصف العلم. Whoever learn علم الفرائض, it means the inheritance and these portions, you will be amazing about this beautiful topic. I advise every one of you to share it with us. This is very complicated topics. Most of the imam, they don't want to touch this area because it's very dangerous. You may give a different percentage. You may give some wrong idea about it. But pray for me that Allah tabaraka ta'ala help me to carry this knowledge, to understand it in the right way according to Ahlul Ilm. I'm not a alim. I'm a student like you. To give you clear idea about the ilm al-fara'id, because whoever carry this ilm, he will carry half of the ilm in Islam. Do you want to carry half of the knowledge, Islamic knowledge? Participate in this class. We'll give you more detail. We tell you about the granddaughter, the grandfather, the aunt, the uncle, because all of us, we don't care about this topic. This is very dangerous topic. How many times after the father die or the mother die and left the property, people fighting together, some of them. I have a friend of mine, him and his brother, they killed each other. Wallahi al-azim, one killed his brother because of this inheritance. Therefore, we need to study this in detail. I ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to help me, to give you clear idea about this rule. And if you know this very dangerous area, you go to any imam and ask him this question, he will escape from you. I don't know. Because this is very dangerous topic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, all of us, me and you, to understand this farida, fara'id, inheritance, to get or to collect half of the knowledge in Islam if you study this in detail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and bless all the Muslims inshallah, and teach all of us inshallah the Islam based on Al-Quran and Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite all of us inshallah, and to enter all of us the Jannah with our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah al-Firdaus. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to guide all of us to the right way of Islam. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdi bina, waj'alna sababan liman ihtada, waj'al fa'rana ala man zalamana, وانصرنا على من عادانا. أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. لا تجعل فينا ولا بيننا شقيا ولا محروما، واغفر لنا بالأعمال الصالحات أعمالنا. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين. اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين. اغفر لآبائنا وأمهاتنا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. اللهم ارض عنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارض عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم قنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب النار، وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، ونعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، واجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فاتبعون أحسنه، وعلمنا ما علمت به كثير من خلقك، واجعلنا من الراشدين، واجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فاتبعون أحسنه. اللهم اعف عنا واعف عن سيئاتنا، واهد أولاد المسلمين ونساء المسلمين وشيوخ المسلمين وشباب المسلمين. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله. جزاكم الله خير for listening. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، استغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.